There was once upon a time a girl who was both young and beautiful, but she had lost her mother when she was just a baby, and her stepmother didn't love her at all. In fact, if truth be told, she hated the girl and did all she could to make her life a misery. Do this, do that, wash the windows, scrub the floors. The girl would scurry from one thing to another from morning till night, and still the woman wasn't satisfied. The harder the girl worked, the more work was laid upon her, and all the woman thought of was how to make her life yet more miserable. One day she said to her, "Here are 12 sacks of feathers to be picked, and if you've not finished them by this evening, you'll get a sound thrashing and no supper. Now get to work." The poor girl set to it, but saw clearly enough that it was impossible to finish the work in one day. Nonetheless, she picked and she picked as best she could, but every so often she'd sigh in despair and send her little pile of feathers flying into the air. In the end, she laid her head in her hands and cried and cried. Then a voice beside her said, "Do not cry. I have come to help you." The girl looked up and saw an old woman sitting by her side. She took the girl by the hand and said, "Now, tell me what is troubling you." As she seemed so kind and spoke so gently, the girl told her of her miserable life and how she must work from dawn till dusk with never a word of thanks. "If I haven't picked these feathers by this evening, my stepmother will beat me, and I can't possibly finish them in time." She began to cry again, but the old woman simply said, "Don't be afraid. Go to sleep. I will soon see to your work." The girl lay down in the corner of the room, and soon she fell asleep. As soon as the old woman was alone, a little twinkle came into her eyes. She emptied the sacks of feathers onto the floor and set to work at once. How quickly her hands moved, how fast the feathers flew. She scarcely touched them with her withered hands, but how fast those feathers flew. The work was finished in no time at all, and when the girl awoke, great snow-white heaps lay on the floor, and everything in the room was neatly tidied away. The old woman, however, was nowhere to be seen. The girl sat quietly till evening came, and when the stepmother came in, she was astonished to see all the work completed.
"Just look what you can achieve when you pull your finger out, and yet there you sit twiddling your thumbs. What an idle child you are!"
And out she stormed, determined to think of an even harder task to set the girl. The next morning she called her and said,
"Here's a spoon for you. Go and empty out the great pond at the bottom of the garden, and if it's not empty by nightfall, you know what you can expect."
The girl took the spoon and saw that it was full of holes, but even if it hadn't been, she could never have emptied a pond with it. Nonetheless, she knelt down by the water's edge and began to spoon and spoon for all she was worth. But whatever she took from the pond by spooning, she added with her own tears. And in the end, she threw down the spoon, put her head in her hands, and began to cry. And once more she heard a voice beside her say,
"Do not cry. I have come to help you."
And there sat the old woman. When she had heard the girl's story, she said,
"There is nothing to worry about. Rest a while, and I will soon see to your work."
The girl lay down under a large tree, and soon she fell asleep. As soon as the old woman was alone, a little twinkle came into her eyes. She placed her hand on the surface of the pond, and all at once the water began to bubble and boil. A great cloud of vapour arose and filled the air, and slowly by slowly, all the water in the pond emptied into the sky. When the girl awoke and walked to the pond, she saw nothing but the fishes which were struggling in the mud. She went to her stepmother and showed her that the work was done.
"And what took you so long?" she snarled. "I've never known such a lazy child."
And off she stormed, trying to think of something truly impossible to set the girl. On the third morning, she called the girl and said,
"You will build me a castle down in the valley, and it must be ready by sunset."
"But that's impossible," said the girl.
"Don't interrupt. If you can empty a pond with a spoonful of holes, then you can certainly build me a castle. I will move in tonight, and mark my words. If anything is missing, even the tiniest thing in the kitchen or the cellar, you know what you'll get."
The girl was driven out of the house, and when she came to the valley, she found a pile of huge black rocks lying there waiting for her. But with all her strength, she couldn't move even the smallest of them. She sat down in despair and hoped the old woman would come again. The old woman was not long in coming. She comforted her and said,
"Lie down there in the shade and sleep, and I will soon build the castle for you. And when it is finished, you will be its princess."
As soon as the old woman was alone, a little twinkle came into her eyes. She picked up a handful of dust from the ground and blew it into the air. And from the dust, the four great walls of the castle were formed, and it seemed as if 1,000 tiny hands were working invisibly, carving the windows, framing the doors, gilding the turrets, and painting the walls. By midday, the golden flags were already fluttering from the ramparts. How the old woman managed it, I don't know. But the walls of the rooms were hung with silk and velvet, embroidered chairs stood by marble tables, strange birds sang in gilded cages, and there was on all sides such magnificence as would befit a king. The sun was just setting as the girl awoke, and she hurried to the castle and entered by the open door. But when she saw the magnificence of the place, she stood speechless with wonder, as if turned to stone. Who knows how long she might have stood there had she not remembered the stepmother.
"Now surely she'll be satisfied and leave me in peace."
The girl ran and told her that the castle was ready.
"Good. Then I will move into it at once," she said, and marched out of the house.
But when she came to the valley and saw the castle standing there, all gold and marble, shining in the evening light, she too was struck dumb with amazement and stood like a statue for goodness knows how long.
"You see, this was easy for you. I should have given you something much harder."
Then she went through all the rooms and examined every corner to see if anything was missing or out of place. But every last thing was exactly as it should have been.
"Oh, you think you're so clever. But I've yet to see the kitchen, and if you have forgotten the smallest thing, you'll know about it."
But in the kitchen, the fire was burning in the hearth, and meat was cooking on a spit. Shiny copper pots hung in rows from the ceiling, and the cupboards were filled with everything a kitchen could need. Not a single thing was missing, or even out of place.
"And what about the cellar?" she snarled.
She lifted up the cellar's trapdoor and climbed down into the darkness. But hardly had she taken two steps down when the heavy trapdoor, which was only laid back, fell down with a terrible crash. The girl heard a scream, and quick as she could, she lifted up the door to go to her aid. But the stepmother had fallen down the cellar steps, and the girl found her lying dead at the bottom. and so now the castle belonged to her. And at first she didn't know what to do with her newfound fortune. Beautiful dresses hung in all the wardrobes, the chests were filled with gold and silver, and there wasn't a single thing she couldn't have for herself. Before long, word spread throughout the land of a maiden of enormous wealth and great beauty who lived all alone in a magnificent castle. Handsome young men came to her every day, but not one of them pleased her. At length, however, a prince came who knew how to touch her heart, and before long they fell in love and became engaged. For many months they stayed together, until one day, as they were sitting beneath a lime tree in the castle gardens, he said, "I will go home and tell my parents of our engagement. Wait for me here under this lime tree, and I will return before sunset." The maiden kissed him on his left cheek and said, "Keep true to me, and never let anyone else kiss you on this cheek. One kiss, and you will forget that ever you knew me." The maiden stayed beneath the lime tree until sunset, but he did not return. She sat there 3 days, from morning till evening, waiting for him, but all in vain. When, on the 4th day, he still did not return, she went to her bedroom and packed up 3 of her most beautiful dresses, one embroidered with bright stars, the 2nd with silver moons, and the 3rd with golden suns. She tied up a handful of jewels in her handkerchief and set out to find her beloved. Everywhere she travelled, she asked after him, but no one she met knew of him. For years and years she searched, but all in vain. At last she hired herself to a farmer as a cowherd and buried her jewels and dresses beneath a stone. And so now she lived as a herdswoman. She guarded her cattle and she longed for her beloved from morning till night. When she had lived for a couple of years, all alone and full of grief, the news spread throughout the land that the king's daughter was about to be married to a young and handsome prince, and that this prince would soon be riding in procession throughout the land on his way to the wedding. And when his carriage passed through the village where the maiden lived, she recognized him as her own beloved. "At last," she said, "I've found him. Now all I have to do is get him." When his carriage had disappeared out of sight, she went to the stone under which she had buried her treasures. She took out the dress with the golden suns, put it on, and adorned herself with the jewels. She unpinned her hair, and it tumbled down in beautiful long curls. Thus, in the dark of night, she walked to the town, and nobody saw her go. When she came to the king's palace, it was all lit up, and the sound of music and laughter spilled into the streets. Dukes and nobles were arriving in their gilded carriages, but she swept straight past them. When she entered the hall, all eyes turned towards her. The crowd parted and let her through, and when the prince saw her, he was so captivated by her beauty that he would dance with no one else. All night he danced with her, round and round, and not once did he think of the king's daughter. But as dawn approached, she tore herself away from him and vanished into the crowd. Over the fields she ran and ran, as fast as her nimble legs would carry her. And before the sun had even risen, she had changed back into her cowherd's dress and led her herd into the hills. And all day long the prince sat by his window and thought of her. He tried to remember her face, but he couldn't. He tried to remember her fragrance, but he couldn't. All he could do was pray she'd come again. That evening, she returned to the stone. She took out the dress with the silver moons and put a half moon of jewels in her hair. Over the fields, she ran and ran, with only the moon in the sky to light her way. In the palace, all the guests had assembled for the second night's feasting. Musicians played and fine wine flowed, but the prince sat alone, waiting and hoping that she might come. And when she appeared, the prince ran to meet her, and all night long he would dance with no one else, round and round and round and round. But as dawn approached, she disappeared. All day long she tended her cows, and all day long he sat by his window. That evening she took out the dress of stars, and in her hair she wore ribbons sparkling with diamonds. And when she appeared at the palace on the third night, the prince was waiting for her, and he ran towards her and cried, "I beg you, tell me who you are. I feel I've known you for years." "Do you not remember what I did when you left me?" she said. And she stepped up to him and kissed him on his left cheek. And in that very instant, it was as if night became day in the prince's mind. He remembered all that he had forgotten and recognized his true bride standing before him. "Come," he said, "let us not waste a moment more." And he gave her his hand and led her down to his carriage. The horses hurried away as if harnessed to the wind. The bright castle windows shone in the distance. When they drove past the lime tree, it shook its branches and sent forth its sweet fragrance. On the steps, wild flowers were blooming, and the rooms echoed with the songs of strange birds. In the hall, the entire court was assembled, and the priest was waiting to marry the bridegroom to the true bride.